All right.
Go ahead and talk some more. Give me, just go ahead and say your name and address. Just say your name and your date you're born.
My name is Peter T. Eugenis. I was born in May 17th, 1926, in Chicago, Illinois.
All right. So tell me about growing up on the South Side. Tell me what it was like in 1933, Chicago. Where were you living? Who was living in your house? What you were doing at that time?
Both of my parents were immigrants. Theodore came over here in approximately 1909 by himself, by his mother's relatives, to work and bring her to the United States. His father had preceded him in the late 1890s and had made no effort to bring my father's mother and sister over, it was my father's duty to work and bring his mother over.
So he was 10 years old at the time when he came over.
He was approximately 10 or 11 years old when he came over. Excuse me. He worked various jobs, stayed with various people, either his father, a group of men from the village, Palio Chorion, Kinouria, in Greece, who had all immigrated from Greece, and he worked for his two uncles in a candy or sweet shop located at the corner of Lincoln and Clark those years, until he was able to get better employment or go into business for himself. During this time, he found it very difficult to bring his mother over because he would surrender his earnings to his father, who was, for lack of a better phrase, a party boy. He and his friends would go out having a good time and not only spending their money, but also his money that he was trying to save to bring his mother and sister over. And at approximately, he went into business for himself when he was 17, was fairly successful, but then volunteered to serve in the United States Army at the very tail end of the war. When he returned from that short period of service, he found that the business he had gone into had been sold by his partner, quote unquote. My dad was subsequently able to bring his, was subsequently able to gather enough money to start bringing his mother and sister over in 1919. At that time, the great flu epidemic was on, and his sister contracted flu when they were in the port city of Piraeus, Greece. My grandmother took her back to the village, which is up in the mountains, where my aunt subsequently died. 1920, my dad finally was able to bring his mother over from Greece to the United States. They resided together with the three of them and also two first cousins of my dad's, Tom and Nicholas Fakeless, who were twins. And from what I understand and gather, were full cousins, as their father or mother had been married and died, and Dave's father subsequently remarried, or their mother remarried, and had the twins. They lived together until such time as my grandmother got the ball rolling to get her son married. The custom was to start going to various dances and picnics to meet eligible and suitable girls. My dad met my mother at a dance for the Pan-Laconians. They danced in the Greek style of dancing, holding hands in a great circle and dancing. A week later, they went and formalized a request for marriage. They thought about it for a while, and they subsequently got married. My mother was brought over in 1921 or 22, I think, by her mother's brother, Tom Kunupiotis, Tom and John Kunupiotis, who at that time were successful businessmen, having established a fruit stand in the area of Lake and State, and brought her over specifically for the purpose of getting married, which, as I said previously, they were married. The family lived together, to the best of my knowledge, as a family. My dad went into business for himself at 61st and State Street, in a restaurant in a building which he and my grandfather bought together with the Fakeless Boys. They were successful, and my two older brothers were born in the, I believe, the 43rd and State is where my dad had his restaurant. My two brothers were born at around 43rd and Calumet, in a property they rented. Subsequently, they moved from that area due to the influx of the black population moving southward, and they moved to 53rd and Lake Park area, where I was born. Period. At that time, we were being raised there until I had a ruptured appendix. I was approximately 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old, and I was hospitalized at St. Elizabeth Hospital. The attending physician was a Martin G. Lucan, and because of my youth and my inability to stay in bed, I re-ruptured my appendix, not once, but twice, facilitating a stay in a hospital for approximately 7.5 months. This also facilitated my dad having to sell his business in order to keep me in the hospital. At that time, the Great Depression came upon us, and we moved to, other quarters at 43rd and Cottage Grove, where we spent our approximately 7 years.
So tell me what it was like when you lived at 43rd and Cottage Grove, and how many people were living in the house. Were the Were your dad's cousins living there? Do you have any boarders?
Yes. Yes. It was my dad, my mom, my grandfather, my grandmother. Then my two uncles and the three children. It was crowded.
Well, there was four at the time, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
Three children, and we were there. We moved there approximately, I believe, in 30 or 31, because we were there because of the Depression. In 1933, my younger brother was born, Frankie. So now there were four boys in the family. My parents and my grandmother had died, I believe, in 29 or 30. We four boys, we lived there. We were raised, we were growing up. It was a area where there were quite a few Greek people. It was not in the immediately area, but there were quite a few Greek families in the area. Immediate neighbors were the Carvounises. Carvuni, Mr. and Mr. Carvuni, and their son, and I believe an older daughter. And also in the same building were the Marguses, Michael Margus's wife, and their three children, the eldest being Mary, then Georgia, then John. During that stay at 43rd and Cottage, Mary Margus, the Margus' oldest child, contracted infantile paralysis and subsequently died. In 1937, my little brother, Frankie, was with us in the backyard, this large, I would call it an apartment building. Some people would call it a tenement. And he walked behind a friend of ours who was playing baseball with us, and my friend struck him in the head with his baseball bat. And we didn't think much of it at the time, but subsequently he had found out he did have a brain concussion, and Frankie died in 1937. That was probably a very difficult time for us, although we, as children growing up, we didn't realize what the Depression meant. My dad found it very difficult to find employment. He worked as the WPA man, digging up the wooden blocks in the street and replacing them with bricks. He also went out and peddled candy and gum and everything else at the walk-a-thon outside the baseball parks, any place to try and raise money. My grandfather was would go out and sell peanuts and in the same areas and do the same thing to raise money. And my two uncles were working as dishwashers, all living together at the time.
So what did you and your brothers do? You mentioned at one point you guys were stealing milk bottles and trying to do little things.
As children, everybody had a charge account at the grocery stores during that period. And my dad had one, and one of the ways we we, the children, were able to augment that, was that the grocery store was located on the west side of Cottage Grove, and at this, at that time, the blacks lived on the west side of Cottage Grove, and the white people lived on the east side of Cottage Grove. We would, my brothers and I think at the time we were probably in maybe 6 and 7 and 5, we were delivering the weekly flyer in the black neighborhood, and my two brothers would pull the wagon supplied by the grocer, and I would sit in the wagon with the flyers to sort of protect them while they delivered them to the various apartments and buildings in the area on the west side of Cottage Grove. So they would deliver the newspapers, the flyers, and I would sit there protecting them. And of course, my brothers would take a milk bottle or two, or pop bottle, which were all worth refunds. And this is the way we not only augmented the earnings of, or payment of 25 cents towards the bill my dad would had acquired, but also some additional money by returning the milk bottles and pop bottles, maybe picking up a loose 2x4 and selling it for 2 cents, augmenting the family income.
Now, were you going to school and Greek school and church, or
we were attending Shakespeare Grammar School at the time. It was a very upbeat school and a better than average neighborhood. I should tell you that the neighborhood was really terribly mixed, because even though we lived on Cottage Grove, the buildings across the alley were all large apartment buildings, which denoted a very affluent area, or it had been. On the northwest corner of 46th and Drexel, which was the street, Drexel Boulevard, which was a street directly behind us, on that northwest corner was a mansion. And I mean a veritable mansion with a large stable, which had been a stable and subsequently became, and the mansion was, had the, well, I guess they call it a portico you could drive under so you wouldn't get into, get caught by the rain. And also had developed a, I guess the people who owned it, turned the one part of their property into a hill so they could use, so we could, during the summer, during the winter, use it as a sled run, sled and ski run, because they had built a 10-foot wall, brick wall, on the alley front leading forward to Drexel Boulevard. On the east side of Drexel Boulevard were a row of mansions, and the northeast corner of 45th and Drexel was the Walgreen Mansion, which was still occupied by Charles Walgreen and his family. Then across the street, there was a Phillips, St. Phillips, and I think it was Episcopalian, grammar school for affluent children. And then on the northeast corner of 46th and Drexel was St. Phillips School for Boys. Very affluent area.
So let's move to about 1939. You were 13 years old or so. Spike was 14. Nick was 15, right?
Correct.
So you were going to Greek school. Tell me about going to a new Greek school and what happened there.
Well, we went to Greek school. We didn't last too long in Greek school.
What happened?
My dad was talked into taking us to Greek school by Father Petrakis. We couldn't afford it.
We're at St. Connie's?
At St. Constantine and Allen Church, located at 61st and Michigan Avenue. He talked us into going there, but we entered in as first-year students, which obviously really wasn't applicable because, as I said, we were almost teenagers. Nick didn't go. He had developed rheumatic fever, so he wasn't going to school. But Spiro and I were in the first grade, attending Greek school, and it wasn't too good.
All right, so tell me what happened in Greek school. Why did you last too long?
Well, first of all, we were much older than the children we were in the same grade with. And, of course, we didn't like staying. So when they asked us to stay because we didn't know the lesson, we would dive out the window and go home anyway. And finally, the priest agreed that we weren't for Greek school. We just didn't have the...
Didn't your brother Spike hit the Greek school teacher at one point?
Well, he went to hit us with a varga, the three-cornered ruler, and he hit him, and they gathered that we weren't the type of students they wanted.
What happened? Hit him.
He kicked us out. He couldn't hit us.
Did he get hit back?
No. We got away with doing what we did.
All right. So now you're in high school. The war is going on. What's happening in high school? And what's high school like back then?
Well, high school was. We went to Englewood High School. Both Spiro and Nick were in the same grades. I was a year behind them. Nick was held back because of his illness. It was a high... It was a high school that was predominantly black at the time. It had... I would say about, if it was 60-40, 60% black, 40% white. Spiro became an usher at the Stratford Theater. I was a student, and Nick was a student who joined the High Y. High Y was the white... association, which also threw the dances for the white students. The Royals was a black organization formed by the black students, which threw the prom and dances for the black students. It was a divided school. Of course, like all schools, there were many altercations between the whites and the blacks. We participated quite often, especially my brother Spiro. He was involved along with our cousins, the Corbis boys, of which there happened to be four at the time in high school, in the same high school with us. So when an altercation started between a Corbis, you would obviously find you're fighting five people and not just one poor white boy. So it was going along, and then I got into an altercation with three black boys who caught me in the washroom. I was fortunate enough to, through sheer fear and adrenaline, able to, I won't say subdue them, but was able to get out of their clutches and left them behind, to the point where I was then became a hunted man. Later on in the season, a group of black boys caught me up on the third floor of Englewood High School, and they said, "Superman, we're gonna see how well you can fly, they were gonna throw me out the window." At that time, my skin was saved by a black friend who I'd gone to grammar school with, and he cautioned them that should they harm me, he would bring his friends in to talk to the, and they allowed me to leave. I transferred out of Englewood to Lindblom High School, from where I graduated in the summer of 1944.
So it's the summer of 1944. Your oldest brother's already been in the Army.
Both of them.
Nick is, and then, so you get out of high school in June, then what happens?
I went into the Army. I graduated from high school. I think it was the 30th of June at the time. And the 15th, in August, I was drafted into the Army, into the service.
And when did you get shipped overseas?
I got shipped over in December of 19. I went to basic training immediately, and they then shipped me home. They allowed me to come home for approximately 10 days. And when I went back, I was shipped almost immediately overseas in December of 44.
When in December? Early? Late?
No, mid-September. Mid-December.
Then what happened?